Hey, it's your boy JC, Dream 10X, episode 68, and this episode we're reviewing this, the last video I saw that I showed it in the book in front of Cindy's face, so we'll just make that a thing. This book is called Mine's Bigger, and it's by David Kaplan, and it is about the Maltese Falcon. Again, the sailing boat that I've been talking about a couple of times on different podcasts. And we're here, before getting into that, we're here in an undisclosed location. Now, we're in, Troutsville? Troutsville, Virginia. We went to a Virginia Tech football game last night, and we're on our way home. We stopped off at this really cool Airbnb, and it's really cute. We'll show you a little bit about it before we close out here. But the game last night was freezing cold. And it's 26 only,
degrees.
Today's the 1st of December yesterday, so it was yesterday, it was November still, and it was freezing. And Tech beat UVA, the UVA Cavaliers, 37-17. Yeah. It was a trouncing, and we left at the third quarter because it was so cold. So we're having a good time. We're heading back, getting ready to get back in the grind up in Northern Virginia. But finished this book during our Thanksgiving break here. And again, it's a recap of two books that I've already read. One was about George Dorio in episode 66 and with Creative Capital. All have kind of touched on Tom Perkins, the venture capitalist from Silicon Valley, and how he deployed a great amount of his large wealth to building this tremendous, almost 300-foot sailing yacht called the Maltese Falcon. And the book is recapping of a lot of the stories that were also recounted in Creative Capital and in Valley Boy. So that was kind of weird. And they all came out around the same time, 2007, I think, these three books.
And different authors, right?
Different authors. Yeah. So I also thought that was strange. Mm-hmm. But I think it was probably near the end of Tom Perkins's, you know, main career. I'm not sure. I think he's still alive. I need to look up. I'm not really sure if he's still alive or not. But I think it was a push by him to like put a cap on his career with these books coming out, talking about all the great things he had done in his career and different authors. I'm not really sure why they all came out at the same time. I thought that was kind of interesting. But so this was mostly about the Maltese Falcon and how he built it. And so
2016, he passed.
He passed away in 2016. Okay, so I think he had cancer at the time. He finished or was working on the Maltese Falcon. And so when these books came out, I'm sure it was like just putting a nice cap on his career and talking about all the great things he had done and just getting the word out would be my guess. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I just thought it was an interesting coincidence. So the Maltese Falcon was what brought me into learning more about him. And so now I was learning a little bit more about the Maltese Falcon yacht itself by reading this book. And so some of the interesting things I took out of this was, one, the reason these big billionaires and multimillionaires like to build these big yachts and go out to sea. And most of them like motor yachts. But some of them prefer sailing vessels like Tom Perkins. And a lot of people consider people who like sailing vessels as blue bloods. So I kind of like, hey, yeah. I kind of resonate with some blue bloods out there. Because we like sailing. We like the sailing vessels. We don't like the motor vessels, the motor yachts. And those were referred to as stink pots in this book. And so I thought it's good that there are people out there who kind of agree with our assessment of being on the water, yeah. Right? Like it's really cool to use the wind and it's human quieter. Power,
yeah.
to move your vessel throughout the water and the environment. But back to the key takeaway of why people like to spend a big part of their fortune on these yachts is because it's the closest to sovereignty they can get, and that struck me as odd. Like, why would people, I guess when you get to a certain level of wealth and power, like being a sovereign, being able to become a sovereign citizen whenever you want, just by setting out to sea on your huge floating island, there's another great sense of power, I would think.
That makes sense.
But what do you do with that? I don't know. What can you do at sea that
enjoy whales and nature.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a sense of, hey, I'm a sovereign citizen out here on the big briny in the seven seas. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But I thought that was curious. I'm trying not to say interesting because I say interesting all the time watching these videos. So it was curious. Tom Perkins spent a lot of his wealth building progressively bigger and bigger sailing vessels.
Mm.
Some of them, some of the names were Copperhead, Andromeda, Mariette, but the Maltese Falcon was the culmination of all of his research and development in sailing technology, and wealth, really. I mean, it was a very expensive vessel. Another thing I was curious about in reading this was, why was it built in Turkey? It was built in Turkey, and I was, you know, curious why that was. He actually, and it was also interesting that he was, I'm trying to remember. He worked for the federal government. I don't think he was in the Air Force. He might have been in the Air Force. I can't remember. But anyway, he was stationed in Turkey for a little bit.
Mm, okay.
So early on in his life, he worked in Turkey in some capacity. And then he ends up building the best vessel, the biggest and best sailing vessel he's ever built in Turkey. So I was curious how that happened. His earlier vessels were built by a design firm, a naval architecture and design firm in Italy. That makes sense to me. You go to Italy to get the high-end design, you know, if you want to get a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, you know, some high-end design thing, you go to the Italians, because the Italians really know how to make artsy stuff. So, of course, this company, Perini, that he used to make his earlier vessels was in Italy. But then, just a sidebar, this Italian company that started making vessels got their start making toilet paper.
Really?
Yeah. That was kind of a weird pivot from... Oh. You know, they made a lot of money in making toilet paper and the technology involved in mass producing toilet paper, and they used that to start building yachts for really wealthy people.
Why not?
Yeah. So they were in Italy, and then they found a big yard in Turkey, and so they moved their business to Turkey. And so since they moved their business to Turkey and Tom Perkins was just building boat after boat, it seemed, he took his business to Turkey.
Nice.
And ended up creating this huge Maltese Falcon. So Maltese Falcon was like almost 300 feet, gigantic. I think it still might be the largest sailing vessel in the world. And it was funny to me how, you know, these guys with the big money who are chasing sovereignty out on the seven seas, who are into sailing yachts, keep competing with one another and trying to get a bigger and bigger, bigger boat made and go faster and faster and faster. One of the guys Tom Perkins was competing with was Jim Clark, who made his wealth with Netscape.
Mm.
And he was ultra wealthy as well. And he was building a boat of comparable size, but they kept what they were building close to their chest. So it was really hard to figure out what the other was doing. And ultimately, Perkins's boat came out to be a larger vessel than Clark. And anyway, it just sounded like, you know, good fun. But these guys, they don't make their money by not being competitive. So they're competitive in everything they do, obviously. So this is just another way for them to be competitive. So it was interesting to learn more about the life cycle of Perkins's knowledge of sailing and sailing technology and the new technology that he created, he funded, that went into the building of the Maltese Falcon. These sails were just incredible technology. This Dyna rig that he developed was new technology. You can essentially drive the whole boat, unfurl the sails and everything from the cockpit with a single push of a button. I don't know if I would feel comfortable going to sea with something like that, knowing how much technology fails. And Perkins, of course, was a physicist and engineer by education as well, by trade. And he did not like the idea of software driving his boat. He was afraid of hackers and stuff like that, but he trusted the mechanical stuff more than the software part of it. But I think I would trust the technology whatsoever. Like, I just would want, you know, if I'm going to sea, I want, you know, simple.
You want Jason Bungert with you.
And somebody like Bungert with me. Why do we keep talking about Bungert in every podcast? It's either Tom Perkins or Bungert we talk about.
It's sailing. It's a thing.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, very technologically advanced vessel, huge crew, very, there's some pictures in this book, and that's why I liked it, because there's a lot of pictures of the inside of the boat. Beautiful, wow, just stately, just nicer than any house I've ever been in this boat. And so it's funny to think about that floating around on the seven seas, and they're pushing the speed limit. He's trying to, I think that he capped out at just under 25 miles per hour.
Wow.
Or was it knots? It's usually knots, but I think they said it was like just under 25 miles an hour. And of course that's limited. Your top speed is limited by the theoretical, you know, algorithm for how long your boat is. So that's another reason they wanted longer and longer vessels, is because of the speed. You're going to go faster the longer your vessel is, but also it's safer. The bigger your boat is, the safer it is out on the big ocean, supposedly. So that's one of the reasons they kept wanting bigger vessels, so they would have longer and longer reach and safer time out at sea, faster time. So it's an interesting book. It's a fun read. I'm going to be reading, let me see. Okay. Next, just to show what I'm reading next. In front of Cindy's face, let's do that. The, it's upside down. Right. Oh, now it's upside down. It's upside down on the thing. I can't read it here.
It's backwards.
What does it say, Cindy?
It says The Hero with 1,000 Faces by Joseph Campbell.
I'm a little bit worried about this one, getting it done in a week, because it's over 300 pages and I don't read that fast. So, but I'm going to have to.
And it's a pretty intense read too.
Is it? You've read it?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, cool.
Back in master's program, or when I started my doctorate. I think when I started my doctorate.
Really? Okay, good. You can help me read it then. So we're going to show you a little bit of this Airbnb before we close out.
It's so happy.
She loves it. So this is the living room. Cindy in the living room. I love the artwork in here.
Love the cows.
And pets are welcome.
Yay, Piper.
Piper's happy. It's got a nice spacious kitchen. Nice bedrooms.
Are you going to take them into Narnia?
Huh?
Are you going to take them into Narnia?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'll wait.
And then it's a two-bedroom thing here, so it's very, very cozy and very spacious too. Bathroom. It's out in the country.
Piper, come here.
Come here. Come here, Piper.
Wait. So you come out, James. Piper's back.
Where's the? Oh, here. There's goats and animals and stuff. Turkey. Oh, they think we're gonna feed them.
Hi, guys. Hi, my friends. Here, go bite. Go babies. Oh. Oh my goodness. We don't have any food. We just have love.
Like my kids, screw that, I want food.
I know, tell me all about it. Tell me about your day. What?
Yeah, and then there's the chicken running. You get him?
I'm coming!
A guinea hen? Or something? Or is that a turkey?
That's a turkey, I think. The big guy. Hey, dude.
Yeah, he's a big dog.
Yeah. Hi, sweetie.
Come here, baby. Oh, no.